Documentary filmmaker David Hambridge grew up in Raleigh, but his father, who was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne, was originally from Buffalo, New York. And those roots introduced David early on in his life to a certain unprecedented sense of defeat that unfolded before his eyes four consecutive years from 1991 to 1994.
Oh, man, yeah, like totally long-suffering Bills fans. I remember growing up as a kid, every Super Bowl, like, that I can remember, it was just my dad would get so, like, depressed at the end of the game.
The Buffalo Bills lost four straight Super Bowls in those years, despite dominating the AFC in that span. They cemented their legacy as a team that would always get to the big game but never win it, constantly sending their fans into turmoil, chief among them, Hambridge's father.
Be like, just, you know, cursing and upset and like, 4 years in a row we had a try, you know, we had a great shot and it just never worked out.
After one of those Super Bowls, Super Bowl 26 in 1992, in fact, when the Buffalo Bills lost to Washington in the second of their four defeats, CBS aired 60 Minutes. And it was this show, not just that particular episode, that gave Hambridge's father some comfort and the father and son something to share.
I just would watch 60 Minutes with my dad. And that was a way for him to cope through the losses in the Super Bowls.
And the long-standing Sunday night viewing mainstay, which by the way is now in its 52nd year on television, not only gave his father a panacea of sorts, but it shaped David Hambridge's worldview in life in such a way that he saw exactly what he wanted to do unfold before his eyes weekly on TV.
I remember seeing movies growing up like Titanic and, you know, Jurassic Park and. To me, those were so cool, but those didn't inspire me. Those were entertainment, you know? And so I like to tell stories that are documentary stories based in truth and being very unbiased and not taking a side, but just presenting the facts. And 60 Minutes, I didn't know what, you know, I was very young, so I didn't really exactly understand what they were talking about when it was like, you know, Bosnia and like some of the wars and issues and conflicts around the world. But the reporting, I just remember those, you know, tick, 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 and like the journalists and kind of the, you know, here we are in this location where, you know, they're said to be the last, you know, sea turtles of the Galapagos.
I'm Chris Saunders, Associate Editor of NC State Magazine, and today on Hear the Howl, David Hambridge describes how he transformed the inspiration he felt from those tick, tick, ticks into a career as an award-winning filmmaker. He takes us to Kenya, the setting for his first feature-length documentary, Kifaru, which spent most of 2019 on the festival circuit and winning awards. It took home the Audience Award for a feature and the Environmental Award at Full Frame Documentary Film Festival in Durham last year. Andy explains why he decided to chronicle in the film the death of Sudan, the last male northern white rhinoceros.
Episode 16, The Last Days of a Rhino.
Aside from drawing inspiration from the likes of Ed Bradley and Mike Wallace, David Hambridge says he grew up always having that creative spirit.
I always grew up like making videos, and I was also like when I was in middle school, like in a hip hop group.
So he graduates high school, comes to NC State, where he remembers his first class here in film studies.
My first class was with Dr. Gomez, Joe Gomez, who retired, I think, the semester or two after that. But it was a 400-level class. It was European directors.
He got internships during his summer breaks, worked on shows like Modern Sniper and One Tree Hill in Wilmington. One fall, he came back and scored a gig as a videographer for Wolfpack Football.
So every day after classes, I would be filming the football practice. And that was really fun. You know, that was when Russell Wilson was quarterback and Tom O'Brien was the coach. And so, yeah, and on senior day, they announced my name, and my mom was on the field. And I ran out there, and I was on the Jumbotron. I gave my mom a rose. I'm like, really? The video guys? Like, you guys consider us part of the football team? Sweet.
Hambridge graduated from NC State in 2009 and would continue to be recognized as the video guy. He made some music videos for Cooley High, a hip-hop group featuring NC State grads, landed some nonprofit work, and that led him around the world. Took him to Brazil, Ethiopia. He found he loved traveling and telling stories. So in 2014, he got the idea that he wanted to explore the poaching crisis in Africa. He raised almost $40,000 on Kickstarter, and he landed in Kenya.
And that's where I met Sudan and the rangers at Old Bajeta Conservancy. And from that moment, you know, I stayed there for, we were there for about a month.
Hambridge credits that time as being important. It allowed him time to stay put, so to speak. He was based at the Conservancy, but he could travel out and take time finding the right stories. He wanted to avoid the trappings of parachute journalism. So he committed to keeping the Conservancy as his base of operations for the next 4 years.
We're so, you know, used to these sensational headlines that live for a week or two on our phones, and then we never think about it. And journalists will go in for a day or two or, you know, 3 days. And I, being with the caretakers for 4 years, on and off, traveling and showing them my commitment, they really trusted me, and they saw that, like, you know, you're not just here from, like, for like 3 or 4 hours to get your story and go back and like do your editorial thing and sleep at the research center or the place on the Conservancy and then come back the next day, get like a follow-up, and then you fly back to, you know, wherever it is.
So it sets up the basis for what would become Kifaru, which Hambridge started shooting in 2015. The film's name is taken from the Swahili word for rhinoceros, and it follows the last years of Sudan, who was the last male northern white rhino in the world until his death in 2018.
It really makes a lot of sense with Kifaru is the choices we made or our generation to, you know, poach these animals is going to leave the next generation with nothing to visit and no rhinos on this planet at the current pace.
Hambridge decided to also focus on Sudan's caretakers as major characters in his film. Those are the men who would care for Sudan and who also protect the Conservancy from poachers.
I, you know, realized the characters would be the vessels in which, like, I always like stories where characters, I think humans identify with humans. We can't identify with a rhino. Like, we don't know what it's like. We don't even know what it's like to be the last of anything, you know? Like, imagine trying to put yourself in Sudan's shoes. You know, it's just impossible. Okay, there's this last northern white rhino of his kind. There's two females, and they happen to be his daughter and his granddaughter. And there's this group of guys that live on this Conservancy that is threatened all the time by poachers trying to penetrate. And there's also an armed guard force that is also KPR, Kenya Police Service, or KPS, whatever it's called. And they're, you know, allowed to use force and arrest poachers.
Because Hambridge basically lets us watch two main characters, James and Jojo, watch Sudan die, the film is able to tease out interesting ways the intersection of themes between rhino and man. That's particularly true of the character Jojo, a quiet, gentle, and shy caretaker who becomes a surrogate parent to Ringo, a baby rhino that comes along.
You know, so there's these life things that were happening in real time, like this baby rhino that was orphaned and wants a father figure, a mother figure, and Jojo was the one that, like, really took him in. And so it was kind of like a test for him to be a father with Ringo. As his wife was, you know, he finds out later that she's pregnant.
The film is filled with wonderful moments of compassion and empathy, and Hambridge hopes those moments can lead people to enact change. If nothing else, at least to ponder man's effect on this earth and what gets erased. What's no more?
And you want the film to serve like what it was set out to do, which tells the legacy of Sudan and honors him and is emotionally touching and makes people want to do something and teaches them that, you know, not only about the plight of northern white rhinos, but, you know, what extinction feels like watching it.
Hambridge spent the latter part of last year working on another edit of the film based on feedback he had gotten from his time at film festivals. He remembers finally his time at the Conservancy, the people he met there. He thinks about how he and some of the people involved there got to climb Mount Kenya as kind of what he calls a last hurrah of production. He says he's sad he's still not shooting there. It's him coming to terms with his own project expiring. He laughs, not in disbelief, but with pride at the notion that one of the film's protagonists has reached international fame.
And then James has become a very popular social media star. Like, he's got more followers than, you know, the film does, and we have quite a bit. And so he is an ambassador. That's what he said he wanted to be. He wanted to be the voice of Sudan. He's kind of the Kenyan ambassador of the northern white rhinos.
But it's Sudan continuing to serve as a powerful face representing fragility and extinction who most stays with Hambridge.
He was just he was an old man, you know. He was he was a great, very charming rhino.
Thank you for listening to Hear the Howl today, and thanks for reading NC State Magazine. Thanks for listening for the last 2 years. This episode wraps the second season, and as long as you all keep listening, we'll keep telling interesting stories of NC State alumni who continue to change the world and leave a mark with their stories. My co-producer Molly Donovan is a vital part of that. She edits these stories, threads them together, records audio, finds music for these episodes. Molly and I look forward to returning in May with a whole new slate of stories for Season 3. Thanks also to Sylvia Adcock, my managing editor, who reads behind me on these stories and helps me make decisions to make them what ends up being piped through your earbuds. And last but not least, a big thank you to David Hambridge, who took time out of his busy 2019 to come in last fall and talk to us a bit about his film Kefaru, and yes, the futility of being a Buffalo Bills fan. Learn more about his film at kefarutheFilm.com. Listen for us next time on Hear the Howl.